Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Cloudy, overcast skies out here at trendy Target Field, downtown Minneapolis. 3:09, a sports Saturday underway. Eric Nelson with you. Stevie T will join me shortly. And we've got all hands on deck. The Hammer, Craig Schreffer, Devin Hester Marshall. We are just down the right field line, looking at this immaculate playing surface at one of the greatest ballparks in MLB, and right now home to the best team in the majors, the Minnesota Twins, who are 46-22, 11 in front of Cleveland in the AL Central, getting set for a game tonight against Kansas City, game two of the three-game weekend series. Royals are 22-47. All games are sold out, and of course, the Twins will retire Joe Mauer's number seven in a ceremony before the ball game tonight. A galaxy of stars will be in the Twin Towns for the event, and this really is seven heaven. There are more sevens here than a Vegas casino. They've got them all over a lot of the seats in the lower bowl in the Delta Club area, and a lot of the fans will have these cut-out cardboard number sevens to take home with them after the Joe Mauer retirement ceremonies. And joining us right out of the gate, Matt Hodson from the Minnesota Twins front office. And Matt, always good to talk to you. I know you're new here in Minnesota with the Twins, but what a ride it's been so far, hasn't it?
Oh man, this has been so much fun to be a part of. First of all, this organization is just first class top to bottom, but then to be around this year for this start to the season, which just keeps on going, it's a ton of fun. As just as you were talking about, I mean, look at this place. Can you get a better setting than this? And then when you have a team that's 46-22 and winning every possible way, it doesn't get any better than this. Baseball fans' dream.
Yeah, it really is paradise. I was at the ball game last night, and you had the fireworks, you had the Prince Purple jersey giveaway, you had the incredible two-run bomb by Matt Garver in the bottom of the eighth inning. Kyle Gibson was basically spotless. I mean, it's a perfect storm now. And then you have this Joe Mauer retirement ceremony. You can feel the baseball buzz clearly here in Twins territory.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, last night, yeah, folks were out here. They were excited for Prince. They were excited for everything going along. They were excited for the pregame stuff with Joe we did last night. But you saw it. The biggest buzz of all was not any of that. It was what was going on between the white lines out here in the diamond. It was watching Gibby just absolutely deal. It was watching Mitch Garver come up huge in the bottom of the eighth. This is a baseball town, and you know what? They're back because this Twins team is a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, we go back to the offseason when Joe announced his retirement. They had the special ceremony at Crete-Durham Hall. I had a chance to cover that for CCO. And we knew this day was coming in mid-June against Kansas City. They were going to put the number up there down the left field line with other greats like Killebrew, Oliva, Kelly, Herbeck, Blylevin, Carew, Puckett, and, of course, Jackie Robinson.
What a list, huh?
Yeah, that's pretty good company. Now, you guys knew this would be a bonanza as far as walk-up crowd, things like that. But you get the way the ball club is playing, you don't even need anything extra these days, do you?
You really don't. I mean, people are showing up. Even Thursday afternoon against Seattle, we had 31,000-plus here. Folks in this town want to come see this team. They want to see the Bomba Squad. They want to see the arms we got on the hill. We got the American League's ERA leader on the bump tonight, Jake Odorizzi. There is plenty to get excited about the Minnesota Twins. And, of course, having all the pomp and circumstance tonight just adds another layer, and we couldn't be more thrilled and more excited to host Joe Mauer's big night here tonight.
Matt Hodson from the Twins front office joining us here on a Sports Saturday on CCO. Again, we're at Target Field, down the right field line, getting set for the Joe Mauer retirement ceremonies in Game 2, Royals and Twins. Matt, a book is coming out about Joe Mauer, A Twin for the Ages, and it basically goes back to when Joe was a prep star at Creighton all the way to his days with the Minnesota Twins, and this will be something that every Twins fan is going to want to get their hands on.
Absolutely. It will really be a treasured keepsake for all Twins fans. Really, when you think of Joe Mauer, it's not just what he did here for the Minnesota Twins. It's what he did at Creighton-Durham, what he means to the state. I mean, how unique and rare is it to have somebody born in St. Paul, raised a Twins fan, the number one draft pick by his hometown club, and then go on to what is arguably a Hall of Fame career with the Twins. This book is going to take many of our treasure trove of Joe photos. We've also partnered with the Star Tribune to get some of his pictures from the high school and prep days. And then we're going to put together really this beautifully illustrated chronological journey down Joe Mauer's career.
And what a humble guy Joe Mauer has been over the years. You go back to the days at Creighton-Durham Hall. He had a chance to go play quarterback for Bobby Bowden at Florida State. He chose baseball. Rumor has it that worked out pretty well. But as you laid it out, he was a number one pick. And there was a lot of buzz way back then. Should the Twins take Mark Pryor out of USC or the local guy Joe Mauer? Well, Pryor said, I'm not going to come here anyway. They made the decision easy, and he goes to Chicago. Early on, very good, but then he flames out with arm injuries. And Joe Mauer had the staying power to last 15 years.
Last 15 incredible years. I mean, you look especially what he did in his prime years behind the plate when he was arguably the best offensive catcher of all time, the only American League catcher ever to win a batting title. Then he went on and won two more of them, six-time All-Star. He won Gold Gloves. He led this team to multiple division titles, and then was after he unfortunately had to move over to first base, he then turned into a Gold Glove caliber first baseman and could still, through his final game here last September, could swing the stick. I mean, I'll be hard-pressed to find a better swing than Joe Mauer's. And really, look at his body of work. To me, there should be a spot for him in Cooperstown.
Yeah, when they have the sequel to the movie The Natural, I think it's got to be Joe Mauer, right, with the swing. Forget about
Without
Robert
a doubt.
Redford.
Yeah. Without a doubt. I mean, that is one of the most pure, sweet left-handed swings you'll ever see. From foul line to foul line, he could spray the ball. And you know, you talk to – I mean, you could, when you pick up this book, you'll see we have reflections in there from Rod Carew, those type of folks who know far more about hitting than I do. And they say they've never seen somebody do with a baseball bat what Joe Mauer could do.
Yeah, that's when it hit home with me, Matt, a few years ago in talking to Rod Carew and asking him about Joe and the way he raved about Mauer's ability to hit, because I think Rod Carew, along with maybe Tony Gwynn, George Brett, those are three of the greatest hitters I've seen with my own eyes. And for him to pay all these compliments to Joe, that speaks volumes.
Absolutely. I mean, Rod Carew is no slouch himself. I mean, that man could hit 3,000 base hits, a Hall of Fame career himself, and a unique way of going about it that Rod Carew had. And for him, somebody of his stature, to heap that kind of this unvarnished praise upon Joe, it means something. And I know for Rod, it meant a lot to watch Joe do it in Minnesota Twin uniform. He will, like all, be very proud to watch Joe get his number retired tonight. And it's, you know, it gives me goosebumps just to think about what this night will mean.
Yeah, and if you haven't been out here to Target Field, the way they do the retired numbers, down the left field line, second deck level, in that Budweiser party deck area, that's where the numbers hang. They're circular, red numbers, white backdrop. So the first number, and for good reason, is Jackie Robinson. His number's retired at every ballpark in Major League Baseball. Joe will be right after Jackie. That's pretty good company. And then John Kelly right after him.
Very, very nice company indeed. And you know, I think it speaks to how respected Joe Mauer is as a, not just a baseball player, but a person, that all of our previously retired numbers, either the person themselves or in the case of the late, great Harmon Killebrew and Kirby Puckett, their family members will be here tonight as well to help honor Joe. I mean, that's certainly something they did not have to do. And again, I think it speaks to the legacy that Joe Mauer leaves, not only as a player, but as a person.
The book is A Twin for the Ages about Joe Mauer. Matt, how can people get a hold of this book?
Yeah, it's available for pre-order now. If you go to twinsbaseball.com/Mauer book, it is available to be pre-ordered right now. The books will be printed and shipped beginning in August.
All right, so that's definitely something every Twins fan is going to want to have. Now, you had a career with the San Francisco Giants as well. Spent a lot of time at AT&T Park. Compare that venue, which is generally looked at as probably a top five, top 10 ballpark in MLB, to Target Field, which usually gets rave reviews.
This place is unbelievably amazing. You know, yes, I had the privilege of working at AT&T Park for several years, and nothing could quite replicate having the bay beyond the right field wall and the ability for the splash hits. And that in and of itself is a beautiful venue, but they are not dissimilar in that they both were put in a very small amount of square footage. and made into these truly magnificent baseball palaces. I mean, I look around Target Field here, and for the first time, I moved back to Minnesota in the summer of 2009, so did get to experience a few Metrodome games, and then coming here in 2010, and you just look at this place, and it's fantastic. You sit down the right field line, and the view, especially for a 7 o'clock game as the sun's going down, playing off the skyline in downtown Minneapolis, the way down the left field line with the Budweiser roof deck, and everything here is just, I mean, I pinch myself coming into this place every day. It's amazing.
Yeah, I do too. It's clearly an unbelievable ballpark. I do have to ask you, though, because it garnered a lot of attention last Sunday when Max Muncy of the Dodgers hit that home run off Madison Bumgarner of the Giants into McCovey Cove, and they had a little dust-up. And Muncy said, well, if you don't like it, get the ball out of the ocean. How deep is McCovey Cove? Can you get a ball out of that spot in the bay?
Oh, yeah, you certainly can. Just ask the many kayakers that are out there. They're not maybe not quite as many as there were in the Bonds days, but those guys are out there surfing it out with or fishing it out with their big nets. And, oh, you could certainly get a ball out of there.
All right, so there you go. Matt, thanks so much for stopping by.
Thank you for coming by.
And we'll have you
having me.
Yeah, throughout the course of the year, and should be a great night.
Yeah, and thank you for coming out to the ballpark tonight to set up and do your show here. It's a fantastic night to be at Target Field.
All right, very good. He's Matt Hodson from the Minnesota Twins front office. Again, the book, A Twin for the Ages, available for pre-order now. It's the official illustrated chronicle of Joe Mauer's rise from local prep legend to Minnesota Twins icon. It's a special sports Saturday from Target Field. We're down the right field line right between first base and the foul pole. Sports Saturday here on CCO. It's a Sports Saturday here on CCO. We are at Target Field, just down the right field line. I'm Eric Nelson. We'll be joined shortly by my tag team partner, Stevie T, who he's in the ballpark. There has been a Stevie T sighting here at Target Field, which is it's great to come out here. It's 3:23 right now, Central Time. You get into the ballpark early. We got here about 2:45. And you watch a venue come to life slowly before your eyes. As I mentioned at the top of the show, there are number sevens everywhere around the ballpark. Seven heaven tonight, as Joe Mauer's number seven will go into the Twins retired number section down the left field line. Twins and Royals, Kansas City 22-47, Minnesota 46-22. So it's going to be a memorable night here at Target Field. Glenn Sparkman on the bump for KC. He's 1-2, 3.58 ERA. Jake Odorizzi, 9-2, 1.92 ERA. And Hammer, I'll say this about Odorizzi. Here's a guy who's 9-0 since April 17th. The ERA, 1.07. His overall ERA is the best in the American League.
Uh-huh.
This guy is making a strong case to be in the All-Star game a month from now in Cleveland.
Yeah, when they acquired him last year, the way he's pitching this year, this is what I expected from him. We saw flashes of brilliance down with Tampa Bay. We saw what he's doing this year. He's given 6 to 7 quality innings each night, and he's become the pitcher we hoped he would become.
Yeah, he's been outstanding. I think that Jose Berríos also probably goes to the All-Star game. That would be his second straight year going to the Midsummer Classic. And so many great stories around the Minnesota Twins and guys who are deserving of getting the All-Star call. We'll see how that plays out, the voting going on. Again, the game will be at Progressive Field in Cleveland. If you missed it last night, quick ball game. It was over about 9:45 Central Time.
I was working here last night, and when the game got done about 9:45, I'm like, we're done about 10:15 with our broadcast, and like, what am I going to do the rest of my night? I wasn't planning on being done this early.
That just gave you more time to go out and sample the buzz in downtown Minneapolis. And, boy, there is a buzz now. Weather's heated up. The ball club playing at a remarkable pace. You can just feel it. Everybody's got some sort of Twins cap on, Twins jersey. I mean, everybody is all in on this team.
And it's only June 15th right now. That buzz is going to get louder the more this team keeps winning, because you look at the division right now. I think they're, what, 10 or 11 games ahead of Cleveland in the division? I mean, the Central's theirs to lose at the moment.
Yeah, they're 11 up. It would take a collapse, really, to not win the division. Last night, great pitcher's duel. Kansas City's Brad Keller and Minnesota's Kyle Gibson battled it out. Keller limited Minnesota to 3 hits and 3 walks through 7. But when he exited in the 8th inning, Mitch Garver took advantage. and he hit that moonbeam to center, two-run home run. The place exploded. I mean, I was in the stands when he hit that ball, and it was just magical.
And you tell the fans, they just wait for something big to happen because that's what this team's done all year. Somebody stepped up every single game, it seems like, and last night the hero was Mitch Garver.
Yeah, and Kyle Gibson, who 8 shutout innings. He retired 13 of the last 14 batters he faced on just 88 pitches. How about Taylor Rogers? A 1-2-3 ninth inning. He gets his 7th save, and the Twins win it 2-0. Minnesota now 15-6 against AL Central opponents. They're 10-3 at Target Field within the division, and 38,898 show up. Sold out. The weekend is sold out, and boy, I'll tell you what, it's a lot of fun now to be in the ballpark.
It really is. I mean, the fans have waited a long time for this. I mean, Target Field opened up in 2010. I think they only had like 3 winning seasons since they started play here, and they haven't dominated the Central Division in 9 years, so fans have been hungry for this.
The other thing last night, I don't want to steal the thunder from Mitch Garver or Kyle Gibson, but those purple Prince jerseys.
Aren't they sharp looking?
Those were a smash hit. They only gave out 10,000. And there was a market as you left the ballpark, people trying to get their hands on a jersey. You know what? You have to give the local marketing departments of our sports teams credit, whether it be the Wild, the Timberwolves, the Vikings, or the Twins, even Minnesota United. They've all somehow had some sort of connection with Prince, the iconic singer that we lost a couple of years ago. They've had, you know, special nights for him. The Twins did it last night. A lot of Prince music. They had a fireworks show afterwards as well. Prince music in the background, so they're milking the moment.
And that's my favorite part, to come in here on a Friday night. You get a great baseball game, you get a fireworks show afterwards, you get downtown, get to soak in the atmosphere and everything. This is the place to be right now in the summertime.
No question. So you look at the American League and the Minnesota Twins with a cushion of 11 games leading Cleveland. Chicago White Sox are 12 back, the Detroit Tigers 20 off the mark. Kansas City, the opponent tonight, 24.5 games behind the Twins, and the Royals are 8-24 on the road. That is the worst road record in Major League Baseball. Tampa Bay Rays lead the AL East by a half game over the New York Yankees, so that's a good race. Houston, a 9.5 game lead over Texas in the AL West. Atlanta, 2.5 up on Philadelphia in the National League East. Hammer, your Brewers with a 1-game lead over the Chicago Cubs in the Central.
That's going to be neck and neck the rest of the year, the Brewers, the Cubs, and I'll even put the Cardinals in the mix. They'll be fighting for first place the whole year in the NL Central.
L.A. Dodgers, like the Twins right now, a big safety net between them and the next closest team. Dodgers 10.5 ahead of Colorado and Arizona in the NL West. And you know what? It's fun to speculate. Who knows? There's a lot of baseball left. We have no idea how it's going to play out. Yeah. A Minnesota-Milwaukee World Series. Could you imagine an I-94 World Series, what that would do to the upper Midwest?
I've been imagining that for 15 years since I started here at WCCO Radio, because that's what I want to see.
It would be the largest traffic jam on I-94 mm-hmm. in the history of the interstate, going back and forth between the ballparks.
Minnesota Twins versus my people.
It could happen. Then again, it could be a rematch of the 65 World Series against the L.A. Dodgers.
Can't rule
then
that
again,
out.
You got to get to the playoffs and get through a couple of rounds to even talk about the World Series. So we're ahead of ourselves, but we can at least have the conversation.
And the good thing is, the way things are going right now, we won't be in the wild card game.
Yeah, avoid the play-in.
It's a one-game crapshoot. We can avoid that. Get a best-of-5 going here, and we'll just take it from there.
All right, very good. Stevie T has arrived. We will take a quick break, come back, and have much more for you on a Sports Saturday on CCO. Sports Saturday from Target Field. We're down the right field line between first base and the foul pole. Stevie T, Eric Nelson with you. Glad you're along for the ride. It literally is the calm before the storm. In about 2.5 hours, this place will be jam-packed with fans. Another sellout. Joe Mauer retirement ceremonies will take place. His number 7 will go up there next to TK, Burt Blylevin, Kirby Puckett, Ken Herbeck, Tony Oliva, Rod Carew, Harmon Killebrew, and, of course, Jackie Robinson. So it's going to be a magical night for Joe, Stevie T.
There's no doubt about it. This was a hot ticket as soon as the date was announced. And I think a lot of people, when they get into the ballpark, and by the way, there are big lines waiting to get in. Gates open at 4 o'clock today, and they're lined up to get in here early and get settled in. And they've got red number 7 scattered around the ballpark that'll be hot souvenirs for the fans. And there's a big red number 7 on the field outside that third base dugout here at Target Field is really kind of a cool shot. I'm going to send a tweet in a moment or two about that. But, yeah, I think a lot of people are going to remember Joe Mauer's final game and how that turned out here at Target Field at the end of the 2018 season, Eric. It was an amazing day for everyone that heard that game on the radio or saw it on television or had a chance to be in the ballpark when Joe Mauer put the catcher's gear on one more time. I mean, you can't make that up.
No, and I think at that moment in time, Joe probably knew that was it, and he wanted to go out as a catcher the way he came in, and certainly the early part of his career as a guy behind the backstop, not only great defensively but outstanding offensively as well, talked about as one of the greatest catchers we've seen in Major League Baseball in recent history. So it is going to be a lot of fun tonight, and I'll tell you what, there are so many sevens here. This is what you want to see if you go to the casino, a bunch of sevens, because that's what we've got at Target Field. They're everywhere, and fans will get to take those home. There's Joe Mauer cap giveaways. We talked about the Prince jerseys last night, the purple jerseys. Those were a big hit. The weekend sold out, and I think that's one of the sidebar stories here. This ball club's played well from the get-go, Stevie T. I mean, they have been very good from game one. But it's taken the fan base a while to buy in. There are a few factors. The weather was not good early. I mean, we had some rough days and nights that kept people away. But even when we got some good weather, the crowds weren't what I thought they'd be. The team was winning. They were smashing home runs at a record pace. But now I think everybody's all in. I think the people who follow the Twins, watching on the tube or listening here on CCO, they believe this team is real, and they're fun to watch.
Oh, no doubt. Anybody in the lineup can hit the ball over the fence. And this is not a cheap ballpark for home runs. I think you got to keep that in mind. Really, since the day it opened, it's been considered a very fair ballpark. So it's not like Citizens Bank Ballpark in Philadelphia or Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati. Those are considered bandboxes, easy home runs hit there. Yankee Stadium, the new Yankee Stadium, got the short porch and right. They hit a tremendous amount of home runs. There's just a lot of power in the lineup, and that moves the meter. I don't think there's any doubt about it. There's been talk about, you know, what they're doing with the baseball right now. The simple fact of the matter is, it is sports entertainment, and right now the Twins are extremely entertaining. It's fun to watch. They're never out of a ball game. You never know what's going to happen when you come to the ballpark. And I think Mitch Garver last night proved that. It was a tight pitcher's duel. It was an important start for Kyle Gibson. He went 8 strong innings in the victory, and then Mitch Garver stepped up to the plate and hit it over the fence and got a curtain call. It was really a cool moment.
Yeah, it sure was. I think for Mitch Garver, the pinnacle moment of his career. He has not had a bigger home run as a Minnesota Twin, and he's had an outstanding start to the season. Let's not forget this guy was on the DL for a couple of weeks with that wrist injury, but he's come back better than ever. And ironically, in Major League Baseball last night, and much is being made of this, you know, across the nation, there were 55 home runs combined in all the MLB games. And some people are saying, wow, that's too much. But the Twins, who lead MLB in home runs, only had one. It was Garver's that actually won the game. So I don't know what's going on. The balls are flying out of the park at record rates. But as you said, it is entertainment. You look at the NBA, what they've done, where the three-point basket now is, if you can't hit the three ball, you're not going to go very far. You look at the NFL, where every change they've made has been in favor of the offense. So if the baseballs are wound a little tighter, if they're juiced or whatever's going on, people seem to want to see this. As they said back in the 90s, chicks dig the long ball.
Well, and it gets back to that thing. You know, it's sports entertainment. People expect to be entertained, and not that you can be entertained. And last night's a good example. 2-0 ball game, played in about 2 hours and 20 minutes. Garver hits a 2-run shot in the bottom of the 8th. The Twins shut out the Royals, and you know, that's good too. But 10-6 games are fun as well. So I think that the fact that the Twins have been able to hit the ball over the fence has maybe put their pitchers a little bit more at ease, because run support's huge for a pitcher's confidence. We've seen it over and over and over again in this game. If the pitcher goes out there that knows that they don't have to be perfect, that they don't have to hit 100% of their spots all the time, that those bats are going to pick them up, that's a huge help. And a guy who's been a huge beneficiary of that, toes the rubber tonight, and Jake Odorizzi, 9-2 is ERA, 1.92. He's been phenomenal. And here's a guy a year ago, people were wondering, you know, well, Jake Odorizzi's awfully mediocre. He's changed people's opinion. He's been as good as you'll see in the major leagues right now among starting pitching. I mean, he's got to be the odds-on favorite to start the All-Star game in Cleveland for the American League. I don't know who you'd pick over this guy.
Yeah, we were saying that earlier, that he's definitely going to be in Cleveland, maybe the starter. I think Jose Berríos has a solid chance of going to the All-Star game for the second straight year. And
well, I want to get a vote from Devin and Hammer, since they're sitting here with us. What do you guys think? I mean, right now, Odorizzi, 9-2, ERA, 1.96, opponent batting average, 186. Who do you put above this guy in the AL right now?
Honestly, I can't think of him off the top of my head at the moment here. I'd probably have to go to Odorizzi, depending on where he's placed in the rotation before the All-Star break.
Yeah, and that's a great point. I don't know, Devin, what you think. You're a big fan of the game, but, you know, for me, if he's on turn and it works out that way come July in Cleveland, why not?
To me, it should be Jake Odorizzi starting the All-Star game. If there's anyone contesting him, I'd say Justin Verlander is the only other candidate.
Well, and if you're he's got the resume too.
Kid in Chicago, Lucas Giolito's got 10 wins. He's the only guy ahead of Verlander, Odorizzi, Domingo Germán, the Yankees ace, and Hin in Ryu out in L.A. with the Dodgers, has 9 wins. So, yes, I think he's certainly in the conversation. There's no question about it. And ERA, he leads in the American League, as Stevie T said. And Ryu leads in all of MLB, 1.36 with the Dodgers.
And as we move through the day, we expect some Twins guys, some Twins alumni. Who knows, a Twins player or two. Before we turn it over to Chris Atterbury at 5:30 in our pregame show, we will have Joe Mauer's number 7 retirement ceremony tonight, then the ball game, the Twins and the Royals tonight. But there are some other things going on in sports. Huge week. We paid off the Stanley Cup. The St. Louis Blues are going to put their names on the Stanley Cup, and then the Toronto Raptors take down the Golden State Warriors and win the Larry O'Brien Trophy and win the NBA title. I think in general it's good, starting with the NBA. It's a shame the Warriors suffered all those injuries. No one wants to see that. I'm sure Toronto would have even preferred to win the title beating a lineup at full strength. No one wanted to see Kevin Durant go down. And then, of course, Klay Thompson, the terrible injury there right at the end. But you got to salute the Toronto Raptors and Kawhi Leonard, what they were able to do. No one gave them a chance.
Yeah, and let's be blunt. You got to play when they tell you to play, and who's ever ready to play is who you're going to face. And for them to win 3 games at Oracle, for the Golden State Warriors, knowing they're leaving that building to cross the bay and go to a waterfront arena in downtown San Francisco next year and future seasons, they couldn't get one win to close it out. I think that speaks volumes to the Toronto Raptors, and I congratulate what they've done. They made a controversial decision last year to fire the NBA of the year in Dwayne Casey. I didn't like it, and I wasn't alone. Casey's had some bad luck in the NBA. He got fired here in Minnesota for all the wrong reasons. The Timberwolves never should have let him go. But it's hard now to second-guess what the Raptors did, because Nick Nurse, in his very first year, has his team on top of the NBA mountain. Now, it's always good to have a guy named Kawhi Leonard coming in and joining your team, which Casey did not have. And it's also just as good to have LeBron change conferences and go out there and be a part of that train wreck known as the Los Angeles Lakers. So kudos to the Raptors. You know what? Canada, they haven't won a Stanley Cup since 93, Montreal Canadiens, but they have an NBA championship team. The Blue Jays won a couple of World Series back in the early 90s. I think the Argonauts have won 11 Grey Cups, because the Maple Leafs don't do anything.
No, 67 was the last year they put their name on the cup. But I think with the Toronto Raptors, and you look at Kawhi Leonard and what he brought to the table, you know, that was a bold move. You know, they gave up a lot to get Kawhi Leonard. And let's face it, this guy, for whatever reason, wasn't comfortable with Greg Popovich in San Antonio. So that was an eye-opener. So they brought in a potential attitude problem in Kawhi Leonard. It paid huge dividends. This guy can flat-out play. He doesn't talk much. He doesn't have much to say. He's not into all of the drama, if you will. He just doesn't do much for the media at all. He's kind of a mystery man, if you will, but he can play.
He doesn't thump his chest like a lot of guys in the NBA. He doesn't want to call attention to himself. He just goes out there, does his thing. I mean, he was the NBA Finals MVP. He got that Bill Russell trophy, which, I mean, that is an incredible accomplishment. And he's sitting there in the post-game news conference, and after the session is over, the trophy's next to him. He walks away. He doesn't even grab the trophy. I don't even think he cares that he won it. And, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. Toronto and Minnesota were in kind of a similar situation. Whereas Toronto thought, we need that one extra piece, and they went out and gambled and got Kawhi. Don't know if Kawhi's going to be their big picture. L.A. Clippers want him. L.A. Lakers want him. New York, Brooklyn. I think he should stay. I think he's an icon from Vancouver to Halifax. Why leave that? I mean, you can always go live by the beach when you retire. But the Minnesota Timberwolves got a guy by the name of Jimmy Butler, and they thought maybe he would do for this organization what Leonard did for Toronto. And for 1 year, Butler brought the Wolves back to the playoffs. But as we all know, that exploded. It became toxic. And it just goes to show you, you make these kind of moves, you don't know how they're going to go. But certainly for Toronto, I don't think they could have dreamed this. And I was surprised they got by Milwaukee. I thought Hammers Bucks were going to get to the finals, and they missed a chance to do so.
Yeah, we just did the right pieces around Giannis to make a deep run. But we'll be better because of this next year, I think.
Yeah, I think
the process.
Bucks are going to be a factor in the East for sure. He's too good a player.
Question for you guys. Is the Golden State dynasty over?
Depends on Kevin Durant. Here's the thing, though. Klay Thompson's out for an extended period of time. You just do not bounce back from an ACL injury. It's going to take a while for Klay to return to form. I would expect him to play sometime in the 2019-2020 season. They're getting better at it. He will recover. And then where does Kevin Durant end up? Sure. I mean, now all of a sudden you got Steph Curry starting this season. A lot of uncertainty around KD. And then, of course, Klay Thompson. When will he be 100% again?
And I think you saw on Thursday night, for as good a player Steph Curry is, he needs space to create shots. Having Klay and Kevin on the court help him create space. Because with those two off the court, he was being suffocated on Thursday, couldn't get a key shot off. Now, as for Durant, if you look at the whole thing, rumor had him going to the New York Knicks. The Knicks may still give him the match because it doesn't matter what the Knicks do, they're in trouble anyway. But if you're Durant, you're recovering from Achilles, I think you actually have the option of staying Golden State for $31 million and recover there. Get your money when you're healthy.
I think the dynasty, as we know it, is over. I think it's going to be difficult for them to regain that swagger.
I'll say it's on hiatus right now.
That they're going to be good.
It's not over till Durant opts out and leaves.
But if you don't have a KD or Klay Thompson going in, and I love Steph Curry. I remember a game here against Minnesota this year where he hit a baseline three ball right in front of the T-Wolves bench to send it to overtime or something like that. I mean, he didn't have much of a look. But my point is, as good as he is, as you guys said, he does need help. And there's other good teams in the West. Houston has to believe one of these days they're going to get through this barrier known as the Golden State Warriors. The Portland Trailblazers made a lot of progress. All of a sudden now New Orleans has Zion Williamson. How good are they going to get? I mean, there's a lot of things in play.
Where does Anthony Davis end up? Does he stay in New Orleans? Does he go to the Lakers? Who's LeBron get to help him? I mean, those are questions there because you know the Lakers are going to try to get somebody.
And the great thing about the NBA is they've already created these storylines. There's always so much drama. I mean, it's a soap opera, and you got to give them credit for it.
It's actually more exciting than the season itself, I think.
Yeah, and you know what? If I'm a player, I am not going to the New York Knicks. They are incredibly dysfunctional.
James Dolan.
And I never thought I'd say this, but I'm not going to the L.A. Lakers either because they're now the West Coast version of the Knicks.
Yeah.
Jeannie Buss has proven she's not much better than her brothers.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If you go to the Knicks, you help them win, you become iconic.
You help them win.
Well, it's a challenge I think some players want to take on. They want to be that guy.
They're not going to win until Dolan sells the team. He's a terrible owner.
You're probably right.
One of the worst owners in sports. That's the problem, and until that changes at the top, the Knicks are going to have problems. I think a lot of guys and a lot of agents are just saying, no, we're not going to New York, and we're not going to put up with that.
All right, a lot more coming up. We are at Target Field. It's a sports Saturday. Joe Mauer Day in Minnesota, according to the governor. This is CCO. We are back on a cloudy sports Saturday from Target Field. Joe Mauer retirement ceremony is coming up, and the Twins and Royals game two of the three-game series. Steve Thompson, Eric Nelson with you, joined now by Kyle Gibson, who was outstanding last night on the mound. 8 scoreless innings in the 2-0 win over the Royals. And probably the pinnacle moment for you, though, was when Mitch Garver went deep in the 8th, knowing you were going to get that W.
I think that was the pinnacle for everyone, you know. W's and L's really isn't exactly what we're out here for on a personal level, but you know, for me, it's just giving the team a chance to win. But, man, you got to love moments like that when you got a sold-out crowd and everybody's on the edge of their seat with the winning run on base, and then, you know, Mitch goes dead central for the win. So it was pretty cool.
And, Kyle, you had a bounce back, and you said following the game you didn't feel too good in the bullpen warming up.
Man, it was weird. It was kind of all day, you know. Sometimes you just – I mean, everybody has it. You just wake up and you don't really feel right, and that's really not a reason to not go to work for us. So we go here and try to do everything I can to get loosened up, and for some reason it was just kind of erratic and not very crisp in the pen, and thankfully I was able to find it on the mound.
I know you're the consummate team guy. Rocco had told you, all right, no 9th inning. Taylor's going to try to seal the deal. But for you, you wanted to be out there, but you're ready to get hand that ball over if need be.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be lying to you if I said that I didn't want to be out there and that I wasn't a little disappointed, because, I mean, I think the human in me and probably the selfish side of me wanted to be out there and to get the 9th inning. I don't have a complete game shutout to my name, and I've only had a couple chances. So to get that chance would have been great, but, you know, Raj has been taking a couple days off with a little bit of soreness, so he was back out there trying to get some work. So it really is about the team. It's about getting wins and you know, sealing up games, and you know, it was a good night to do that.
Kyle Gibson joining us. Won the game one of the 3-game set with the Royals on Friday night. Went 8 strong innings in a 2-0 Twins win. Kyle, how much fun has this been in 2019?
Man, it's been incredible. It's probably one of the more fun groups I've been around. And I've been really lucky to have, even on the teams that we lost. Obviously, you know, we still had a lot of fun, but man, just the camaraderie and the guys getting each other's back. And I think one special thing we have is we've got 3 or 4 guys that could play every day if they were on another team. And they have to understand that, hey, they're only going to get to play 3 or 4 days out of the week. So that takes a lot of selfless guys.
Walk us through the process of your career early on to now. There have been bumps in the road, some turbulence, but it really looks like you've found your mojo.
Yeah, it was one thing I mentioned last night when somebody asked me about the 1,000 innings. To get the chance to get 2 or 3 second chances and third chances from this organization that has so much history really means a lot. And there's definitely been some bumps, but I'm a big believer that I go through whatever it is for a reason, and I'm thankful to be here today.
All right, Kyle, thanks so much for stopping by and the time. Congrats on the win, and Joe Mauer retires tonight. It'll be a big night.
Yeah, it's going to be a whole lot of fun. A lot of 7s around the stadium. It's going to be great.
Thank you. That's Kyle Gibson right here on CCO.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.